Welcome to Compassion Radio. Hi, friends. Bram Floria here, and welcome to a new Compassion Radio broadcast. For the past 2 days, we've been in a deep conversation with Ethan Morse, documentarian, Honor Guard team member at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and a faithful follower of Jesus. His faith is an active one and has led him right into the trenches, recently in the war against COVID, as you'll hear more about today. As this program goes to broadcast, it's also the sixth day of Christmas, and it's a day that commemorates the martyrs of the faith. Today is unique for me in that it highlights one of the first known women who died because of her faith. Her name was Saint Anicia, and she entered eternal life during the reign of Roman Emperor Maximian Hercules, sometime during the 3rd century. Her life and act of faith are emblematic of the lifestyle that Jesus calls us to. She herself was a rescued orphan who grew into a leader of the Church of Thessalonica and made it her mission to take care of street people. During the feast of the Roman sun god Invictus, she was caught by a soldier caring for the poor in the streets, not celebrating at the pagan temple. Under questioning, she admitted she was serving the poor in the name of Jesus, and it immediately cost her her life at the tip of the soldier's sword. Now consider that that pagan celebration happened near our 25th of December, and so was later adopted as the birthday of Jesus Christ. So I'd say if there's a theme we can take away from this sixth day of Christmas, it's this. For all those who are unashamed to serve God by serving others, even under the threat of persecution or death, we should give thanks and pray God will raise up many more. With that in mind, we'll turn to today's interview. I think you'll find it interesting how our conversation echoes that theme of selfless service and sacrifice for Jesus. Thanks for joining us today. We're back one more time with Ethan Morse, an honor guard, documentarian, filmmaker, and active service military person who went from the honor at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier to the bottom of the barrel as a grunt again to be out there fighting the COVID epidemic. What a story. But it's a story of, I think, always stepping up into God's plan, not of being demoted down through man's understanding of honor. You found honor in serving Jesus wherever he put you, and I'm proud of you for that. So let's pick up a story we started yesterday about you working with the military there in California, getting deployed by President Trump, taking the honor of that appointment to do something that was unknown and was risky, and then rolling over into a new administration, wondering how that's going to work, and finding out that the passion within the government was still as high as it ever had been to solve this problem, save lives, convince people that they can help in this process. It's not a politically correct thing to say that you honor both presidents, you honor both political traditions by serving and helping to save lives when some would say we don't need the vaccine, others would say we absolutely need the vaccine. What's the ground truth? Tell me about your experience again about working in Long Beach and the 18-hour days and the 250,000 people that you vaccinated.
The crazy thing about working in Long Beach, one of the biggest cities in LA, quite liberal, sitting there vaccinating a bunch of liberal people. You know, I wanted to say, like, here's a vaccine from President Trump, you know, enjoy your vaccine from President Trump. But it's not a political job.
Right.
It was one of, like you said, humanitarian. It was crazy to see how many people came through really shackled with fear.
Yeah.
I mean, just terrified. Older people that hadn't been out of their homes for almost a year. They weren't good drivers. We had barricades set up to protect us because oftentimes they would try to stop and they would hit their gas, you know, that's just, they hadn't been out driving. They were terrified of getting COVID, and just giving them the shot was a 2-shot. So we'd see them twice coming through every 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And we knew that it wasn't a don't get COVID shot. It just wasn't. It's not 100% protection, but it was some protection. And it was amazing to see the people that came in with hope and realized that we were helping. I mean, and we would cheer for them. We had soldiers that refused to get the shot and they're still helping there give it. And they're like, eh, I don't need it. I was a medic working in 2020 in a COVID hospital for a whole year and I never got COVID. I don't want to get the shot. So they wouldn't. but he still helped give about 25,000 shots himself, you know, because his attitude was, I'm young and I don't need it. I'll let the older people get it. Now, his shot would have come from the military. There's a lot of misinformation. Yeah, him getting his shot wouldn't have taken it from an older person.
No, it wouldn't.
It was his Department of Defense shot allocated for him. So eventually he did take it just because he was like, oh, okay.
Okay. And these are, because I'm a generation, say, ahead of you, I'm on that cusp between me being at high risk. So I knew I needed to get vaccinated, especially if I was going to try to be out there and be available to travel to tell stories and be part of this work that I do. I couldn't go internationally without having the shot done. So I had no problem taking it. And I did want the extra protection. And I also have people in my family that are elderly that I'm in direct contact with all the time. So it made perfect and eminent sense for me to be covered. There are people on the political right who would shame me for having done this thing and sacrificed my freedom. I don't buy it. It's bunk. It is, for me, an ethical and a moral thing to do, because I believe that God, his spirit, said to me, you need to do this on behalf of those who can't and those who won't. But there is no virtue for me in pride, in defying a government or defying scientific authorities that have done their very best to give us something that will save lives. And we know it's saving lives. No matter what others say, we know it's saved lives. And you've seen that.
Well, it, very much so. So I was given it in January of 2021, again, through the Department of Defense. I got Moderna. And, you know, did I think it worked? Oh, I'll be fine. Yeah. For the most part, I never got vaccines growing up. Since being in the military, I get all the vaccines.
Yeah,
I think I've had 8 iterations of anthrax. And, you know, I don't see any problems yet, you know. But the reality is, you know what? They told me to take anthrax vaccine. I took it. Oh, hey, they're telling me to take Moderna. I'll take it. And my attitude was, if it's going to cause a problem, it might as well cause a problem to me, a soldier, than to somebody else. So I'll be part of the guinea pigs, so to speak. Well, then we had the tiers in January, February, March, where, you know, older, high-risk people, first responders in California, and we're rolling it out. Well, people were, I mean, they would wait for 3 or 4 hours just trying to, is there any left over from today?
Yeah.
And by March, you know, it wasn't quite time for my wife to get her vaccine. And I was telling her, like, honey, you can come in and we'll get you vaccinated at my team. Like, we can do that. She said, well, I don't want to jump the tier line. I don't want to, again, jump the line. I said, you're not going to jump a line. I've now helped, at that time, 50,000 people get vaccinated, and I'm seeing 100, 200 a day who are lying. Oh, yeah, I'm a first responder. Oh, I work with food. I'm an EMS or whatever it is. Oh, where's your credentials? We don't have it. So we started having to turn some people away. I saw the desperation, you know, and people were so desperate. Oh, I need to get it. I need to get it. And it's just like, whoa, you know, and I want my kid to get it. It's not authorized for your kid.
And I think that it's fair to say that when you're seeing them, you don't see their entire story. Why they're afraid is something that is a story in itself. And I've talked to plenty of people that weren't able to get the shot even when I was living in Texas because of those restrictions. But they had people in their households that were dying of COVID. Yep. And they were scared spitless because they knew they could get it any moment. And they had children at home.
Yep.
Those are valid concerns. Just because somebody is motivated to do something, say, unethical and try to lie to get a shot does not mean it's not motivated out of love and out of genuine concern. So I don't want to say that everybody who tried to get a shot early is necessarily guilty of a greater crime.
Yep. My team, my specific team, because there's a bunch of us there. Our attitude was, we're not the shot police.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you got through the line, that's 4 hours long. There were supposed to be vaccine checkers or the people outside. Then we would just say, hey, congratulations, you made it, you know, you're here. And we happily assisted them because, again, it's something that we knew is rolling out for every person who wanted it. So we weren't going to be that one person, you know, for all we know, we say no to somebody and 3 weeks later they die from COVID. No, thanks. We would never find out. But if it means so much to them, hey, it's a free shot. Thank you. And a lot of my family is anti-vaccine. And, you know, like I said, I grew up not being vaccinated. So that's cool. They live in the country and they don't really have a lot of exposure. But unfortunately, my brother just got COVID and he gave it to his family.
Shoot.
And I told him, I said, you know, you're contributing to the statistic that unvaccinated tend to get COVID more. Great. You guys lived. Awesome. I'm glad you didn't see mom and dad while you're contagious.
And totally to pass it on to somebody else too.
Right. So great. We all lived. We've got a 99% chance survival rate. Who cares? You know, roll the dice. That's why I'm in the Army. I love playing with guns, and I'm going to survive.
Oh, man.
Different shot, though.
Yeah, we'll pray for that, too. Okay, but tell me, when you're dealing with people who are fearful, mm-hmm. I'm going to posit a theory here that yes. many of the people who are, say, very pro-Trump or Trumpian and are evangelical in culture are just as afraid, but they're not admitting it. So mm-hmm. the defiance in forcing back of that, the denial for me is at the root of a lot of this. There are many yep. people, I do believe, that are forcibly trying to take on a narrative of God will protect me. I don't need this shot. And they're fearful of the things they've been told about what the shot can do, but they're really afraid of themselves dying because they do know people are dying, but they can't acknowledge mm-hmm. it. There's like a disconnect between the reality they see around them and the hopes they have for themselves and what they expect of themselves and their faith. So yep. they load all this stuff onto their faith and demand that God protect them when they're unwilling or too afraid to take the step to be humble enough to say, for the sake of my neighbor, for the sake of my mother, for the sake of my children or my school, I would do this. They're just not mm-hmm. willing because they have an underlying fear they can't face. I believe that's happening.
For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you, friends, for stretching your faith as we close this year and as we begin a new year of opportunity in 2022. I sincerely hope we can continue to be a real encouragement to you now and in the days to come. And again, friends, thank you so much for making it possible. And now back to my interview with Ethan Morse, author, filmmaker, and one of those rare breeds who actually served at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There are many people, I do believe, that are forcibly trying to take on a narrative of God will protect me, I don't need this shot. And they're fearful of the things they've been told about what the shot can do, but they're really afraid of themselves dying because they do know people are dying, but they can't acknowledge it. There's like a disconnect between the reality they see around them and the hopes they have for themselves and what they expect of themselves and their faith. So they load all this stuff onto their faith and demand that God protect them when they're unwilling or too afraid to take the step to be humble enough to say, for the sake of my neighbor, for the sake of my mother, for the sake of my children or my school, I would do this. They're just not willing because they have an underlying fear they can't face. I believe that's happening, but I want you to talk to that too.
I think so. And I do have to say, I do hear a lot in the evangelical community, oh, I'll have the natural antibodies. Mm. I have the natural antibodies. And great. Cool. Thumbs up. That works for you. Unfortunately, now both my sisters just got COVID and their families. Mm. And one of them bounced back within 5 days. My other sister, it's been 7 weeks. She can barely do laundry. Mm. You know, she can't even stand up and go to the bathroom without being tired. Great. She's living. You know, I just talked to her today. How's that flu treating? We like to laugh about it because it's not the flu. It's a horrible virus that affects your lungs. Probably like my lungs were affected by the abuse that I allowed with the pneumonia mm-hmm. back in 2018. You know, she has long COVID now. Yeah. We don't know the parameters. She has natural antibodies now. You know, yay. And I've still told her, you know what? If you ever get better and stuff, maybe get the shot. Me personally, I might get the third shot now. I don't know. I'm about to get deployed overseas, and I would rather get the third shot on my time while I'm home, where I can be in control of it, than over in Europe when I'm being told to, so to speak, seeing the handwriting on the wall. But going back to your question of why people are so ardently, I trust God and I'll push against it. I remind those people, especially the pro-Trump people, that Trump is the one who helped make the vaccine. Yeah. He really did. And the science is not a new science at all.
It's not.
The mRNA technology has been around for 20 or 30 years, I believe. We haven't had to use it because we haven't had this type of a horrific virus. There's no reason to use it for the flu vaccine because we have flu vaccines for it from live viruses. The people that are afraid of that technology often don't even know that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is not an mRNA vaccine.
Yeah.
So if you're afraid of an mRNA vaccine because it's going to change your body, then just grab the Johnson & Johnson one-shot wonder, as we called it at the vaccine site, because guess what? That'll get you up to a level of protection that our medical community says is good.
It's helpful, yes.
Yep, and it's taken from a real coronavirus, not coronavirus 2019. Again, there's where people get scared. Oh my gosh. It's from a coronavirus, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 or something, way back in the coronavirus mutations.
And in traditional vaccines, those things are cracked and a good portion of the actual virus material is quote unquote preserved and manipulated to help you get the response you need, as opposed to just a little tiny sliver. I would agree with you. When it comes to Johnson & Johnson, at the very least, get it, because if that's the only thing you're familiar with, the only thing you're willing to trust, and get it because it will help. We have also learned that the Moderna and the Pfizer have been much more effective on this particular virus. So
yes, especially even now the new breakthrough viruses too.
That being the case, I'm still leaning in on get the best you can. So if you're going to at least, if you're going to cross the threshold and finally say, I'm willing to have my attitude and my perspective adjusted here. And remember, it wasn't just a Biden thing. It wasn't just a Fauci thing. It wasn't, it's whatever.
Yep.
Our own President Trump enabled and authorized people to pursue this at high speed.
Yep.
He didn't want things slowed down. So he knew this virus was deadly.
He did.
And he barely survived it himself.
You just gave me goosebumps because that's what I was encouraging my sister with, is that I hate the shutdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And California and New York have been the worst. And I live, thankfully, in Orange County, where we shoved it off as fast as we could. You know, maybe May, I think, of 2020, a lot of the mask mandates went down. But, you know, my wife will go to church, but we don't go to concerts or events or big groups. I told her, look, I've had to take care of COVID positive soldiers for a month.
Yeah.
It's not fun. I don't want it. You know, I don't want my wife to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to deal with it. And it's not 2 week vacation at home.
No, it's
you know,
not.
It's just, man. It's nothing that I want. So we do avoid it. In Orange County, I seldom ever put on a mask when I go into a store. LA is back to mandate.
Right.
If you go into any store, you have to wear it. I was just up in LA. I try to stay away from there. But we do have some now of the lowest COVID numbers in the country because of all these intrusive laws, you know, infringing on my rights. And the reality is, you know what? We're just trying. And I point out that Trump knew that.
Yeah, he did.
He's the one that authorized the shutdown. He knew, I mean, this is a bad virus and nobody wants it. When we had our initial shutdown, the 2 weeks to slow the spread, that was under a predominantly conservative leadership, you know, and I still support that.
So take it from somebody who's very Trumpian himself, our dear friend here, Ethan Morse, honor guard, Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You've got a great history. You've got a great history of kingdom service as well, and you're doing that now. I do want to tackle in the last few minutes of the program, at least touch on it. After all the time of serving together with others like you, who are giving the furthest measure of devotion they can in an act of service, helping others by saving lives. Mm-hmm. This pandemic is taking lives, and it's not just the virus. Tell me about your experience with friends of yours that have been unable to cross the threshold of saying, I need help with something that's not just about the virus.
Yeah, I had the good fortune of serving with amazing civilians, military, nurses from across the country, because travel nurses were flown into LA to help with the vaccines, with the treatments. The head of the police at the Long Beach Convention Center became a great friend of mine, Officer Chris Zamora. He'd been like a 22-year Long Beach PD officer, 16 to 18 years fighting the gangs and drugs in Long Beach, which is, again, the second biggest city in all of LA. And then he ended up doing a couple of years undercover against sex trafficking. Mm. And after that, he was, I would say, rewarded with becoming kind of the officer in charge of all filming in Long Beach. Well, he found out while we were working these 18-hour days that I'm a filmmaker, and the Lord helped me even make, you know, some other small projects this year, even while on active duty.
Wow.
And we were able to discuss all that. He then started bringing me to different film sets that were happening once the reopening happened in late 2021. So over the summer, we became good friends, and he started sharing with me all the stories and the things that he saw working undercover against sex trafficking and in the drug and the gang work over almost 20 years. And we had built a movie around his life and stories, including he brought down a sex trafficking group, a gang that Kamala Harris actually had prosecuted as the Attorney General of California. And she actually bragged about it in the vice presidential debates. And he was like, oh, wait, I built that case.
I was in the room where it happened.
Yep. He was very proud of that. And I was proud of him. He was such a bright light. And I don't think he was a Christian. And I'm kind of embarrassed that I never really spoke deep spiritual things with him as we shared our hearts and we shared so much. And I just got the word actually last week that he committed suicide. And there's like no warnings. You know, I had told him that I was amazed at how happy he was after all the darkness he had seen. And he did share that he thought God brought us together. And I agreed with that. I told him, I know God brought us together. I look forward to one day, prayerfully, God will allow me to make the movie that we had started together. But it was crazy because, you know, he literally was in charge of all the safety of a site that just helped 250,000 people get vaccinated.
Yeah.
That ran so smoothly and so safely. And he gave, I know he gave part of his heart, soul, you know, his love to his community, as did all the soldiers and travel nurses that were there. But it hit really close to home. And I'm so honored for the people that we come to meet. And we never know what any of us are going through. And that's the hard part. Even I've shared, I've had a rough couple of years, feel like a failure, you know. And even in my failure, God has helped me to get through today, one day at a time sometimes.
Well, Ethan, we don't share your loss like you do, but we at least, I think by the Spirit of God, can empathize enough to say, we want to know, because we want to know what God's really doing in the hearts and lives of those who serve us, and we don't want to be unaware of those who suffer. I do believe the Spirit of God can help us step across that threshold of the unknowing.
My thanks again to Ethan Morse, Honor Guard team member at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, a documentarian, frontline responder, and a man of genuine faith. In the final installment of this series, we'll dig even deeper into the heart-rending realities of learning to love and serve those that God brings us. Ethan's story will wrap up then. If you missed any of these episodes and would like to hear the whole interview, just head over to CompassionRadio.com and choose the broadcast page. Friends, as we wrap up the year 2021, I can say with all seriousness that it has been the most challenging of our 78 years in broadcast ministry. So much is changing in our world today. So much is unpredictable. And frankly, there are plenty of reasons to doubt the future. That is, if our anchor is not on the Rock of Ages. I'm so grateful that we get the opportunity to continue bringing you your good news and inspiration from so many wonderful places and people who make up this worldwide family we call the Kingdom of God. Because of your faithful giving, we've been able to do it. With your continued support, we'll continue. Pretty much every ministry I know makes a special appeal at year-end for renewed financial support. They do it for two reasons, basically. First is because this is already the season of giving, and the church is primed for generosity. From the joy of Christmas and renewed experience of His gift to us, we are much more likely to share with others. The second reason is fairly practical. Givers are hitting the reset button as they prepare for a new year. They maximize their gifts to minimize their income tax. At the same time, most nonprofits are wrapping up their financials and making plans for the next year based on giving right now. Of course, we sincerely hope you'll stand with us all year long, and that if you believe in us and what we do, you'll take the opportunity right now to help us step into 2022 with the resources we'll need to get through the next season. Thank you, friends, so much for standing with us in prayer and giving so that we can be here today and tomorrow. bless you for all you do, and know that we are deeply grateful for your generosity and faithful giving. You can call us today at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Our website is also available 24/7 to make your gift online through your credit or debit card. However you choose to give, know that we'll make the most of it in finding the stories and ministry partners who are doing unique things for the kingdom in places where most others just don't go. And again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being intrepid with us in your ministry giving. May 2022 be an awesome year of spiritual growth and kingdom action for you. Make sure to join us for the final installment of this series and my discussion with Ethan Morris on how adventurous Christians like him are making a tremendous impact in the arts, entertainment, and journalism for the kingdom of God. We'll see you then.